I walked up and talked with her and talked with her pastor, and I talked with that man, and I said, listen, like, if you see somebody that you think's in sin, or you don't have to give them a thus saith the Lord. You can, like, go up to them and say, hey, I think maybe what you're doing isn't right. Let's go to the Word and figure this out. Hey, maybe that skirt is way too short, but let's get some moms around this girl and love her and disciple her to wholeness. But sometimes people use the prophetic where really it's in the Bible. You don't need a prophetic word for that. We have the scripture. So I want to encourage you, as you're growing in the prophetic, not to always feel like you have to use the prophetic. You can go with the Word of God. By listing three specific objectives of the gift of prophecy when the saints gather, Paul is clearly placing restrictions. So let's go back here to, 1 Corinthians 14. It says, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. But one who prophesies speaks to men for edification, exhortation, and consolation. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies edifies the church. So Paul is encouraging them to pursue prophecy, but he says this is what prophecy is for. It's for the edification, the exhortation, and the consolation of the saints. He's placing restrictions on the gift of prophecy among saints. So Paul is saying prophecy must meet these three things: edification, exhortation, consolation. If we're a believer in Jesus Christ and we receive a prophetic word, it first of all, is our heart full of love? And secondly, is this edifying? Is this exhorting? Is this consolating? So let's break these down. Letter A, edification. The Greek word for edification is oikodome, which in essence is, and here's your fill in the blank, the act of building up. The act of building up. As we pursue love and eagerly desire to prophesy, we are to seek God for words of edification for our brothers and sisters in Christ. God is seeking to build up that which has been torn down and to speak life into that which is dead and dry. So as a believer in Jesus Christ, when we begin to pursue prophecy, what we're supposed to be doing is saying, Lord, give me your heart and words for someone that would build them up, that would encourage them. Does that make sense? We're building people up into the kingdom of God. B, exhortation. The Greek word for exhortation is paraklesis, which means a calling near, a summoning, a persuasive discourse, a stirring address. A calling near, a summoning, a persuasive discourse, a stirring address. Words of exhortation have the ability to shift and bring saints into alignment. Now, I love exhortation. This was like my dad's bread and butter. When I think of someone having the prophetic gift of exhortation, I think of like a football coach. You're down 40-0 at halftime, and he is fired up saying, we're going to win this game. When you get a spirit of prophetic exhortation on you, you begin to reach out to people that are hurting, that are broken, that need life breathed into their dry bones. How many people want to ask God, help me to be an exhorter? And is anybody else around lonely people, depressed people? I mean, this is why when I asked you, how many of you are waking up asking the Lord or saying, I want to get zealous about spiritual gifts? Because if you'll get zealous even about, Lord, I want to exhort your body. I want to call them near. I want to stir them up in the things of the Lord. Things will start to fill your innermost being, and you'll be a great blessing to all those around you. I love it. C, consolation. The Greek word for consolation is paramuthis, which means a calming and a comforting. A calming and a comforting. Prophetic words of consolation bring healing, understanding, deliverance, and oftentimes hope in the midst of turmoil. Here's what I find from people. When you tell them, all right, prophecy, as a believer, you're supposed to be pursuing it. Let God fill your heart with love. It's all about comfort. It's all about exhortation. It's all about strength. Most people say, well, what's so bad about that? That's my question for you. What's so bad about that? Well, usually it's people's prophetic experiences that's bad about that. When you say prophetic in a large part of the body of Christ, they're picturing somebody standing somebody up and rebuking them, calling them out for their sin. Beloved, can I tell you that's not here? I want you to track with me. Why would Paul, carrying divine revelation, the wise master builder of the New Testament, why would he encourage people to pursue this if he thought in his mind, oh, I want to think of an idea of how I can blow the church up? No, Paul had a divine revelation. Oh my gosh, if we can get a prophetic spirit flowing and active and moving within a body of believers, there's no telling what God can do. And I want to give you permission this weekend. I want to encourage you. I want to exhort you. Zealously lust after spiritual gifts. Get activated in the things of God. There's spiritual firepower. The anointing of the Holy Spirit, when we begin to flow in the gifts, it's not only about laying hands on somebody down at the altar, but it's about the anointing of the Holy Ghost coming upon you at work. And it's the heart and the mind of God coming out of you. It's people getting saved at a restaurant. It's me walking into the gym. I don't know what it is, but I the Lord always uses me to get salvations in the sauna when it's like 120 degrees. And no, I don't mention hell. But I mean, when you get convinced the Lord is always talking, He's always sharing His heart with us. There are people all around us every day that need an encounter with the Lord. And I'm here to tell you, especially in this generation, don't expect them to come in here. We've got to have a paradigm shift in the church. People, you know, they're just like, well, where is everybody? Go get them. To saints, Jesus said, go. To sinners, He said, come. So if we're having church and no one in here is not saved, we need to like shut it down and go find people that are not saved. All right, how are we doing? Like I love seeing the gifts of the Holy Spirit be used to win people to the Lord. But I love to see believers get activated in the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. This is the Joel 2 thing. In the last days, God says, I'm going to pour out my spirit. Sons and daughters are going to prophesy. People are going to have dreams. People are going to be having visions. This is normal. This not happening is abnormal. When we were born again, woven into our DNA was the supernatural realm. You were born for so much more than three songs and a nice message. You were born for so much more than, I can't figure out why I'm working here. No, God placed you in that job to be His mouthpiece, to share His heart. How we doing? I'm doing good, man. We're just getting started. I just want to put an end to miserable Christianity. If we don't have joy, our Christianity's leaking somewhere. And it's a wonder we can't get people saved. Maybe they're looking at us. Man, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost and the anointing, everything changes. Your vision, your sight, your spiritual senses, they get activated and awakened. Your kids start prophesying. They start laying hands. I mean, it's like, it's the life. I just can't go back. I can't go back to business as usual. We're living in a time of reformation, and he's just pouring it out. So Roman numeral 3, is this helping anyone? I'm just rambling. And again, just hear my heart. I know people like, yeah, man, shut up and just prophesy to us. Listen, we've got to get beyond just one guy doing it all. Like, I'm leaving on Sunday. What then? You all have to get activated in the prophetic, in the things of the Holy Spirit. You have to take the leap of faith. So we've got to learn and grow in again, in this primary thing that Paul says, pursue prophecy. I'm giving you license and permission. Go after it. Okay, so I believe four specific gifts: the gift of wisdom, first blank, the gift of knowledge, second blank, the gift of distinguishing of spirits, third blank, and the gift of prophecy, wisdom, knowledge, distinguishing, and prophecy. Those are your four blanks that are found in 1 Corinthians 12, comprise the DNA of prophetic ministry. They can be ministered together or singularly, depending on what the Spirit of God is revealing. So you have your 9 spiritual gifts that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12. 4 of those, I believe, make up prophetic ministry: words of wisdom, words of knowledge, distinguishing of spirits, and the actual gift of prophecy. So let's break these down. Words of wisdom. As we ask God to fill our hearts with love, and we seek to be edifying, we seek to be comforting, we seek to bring strength to people, God is going to begin to activate words of wisdom. Found in Acts 27, people like to ask me, well, where's that found in the scripture? Acts 27, if you want to turn there, I won't for the sake of time. Acts 27, Paul and the boys are making a voyage to Rome. Paul says, I perceive in the Spirit that the voyage ahead is going to be troublesome. So Paul is having a word of wisdom, a word of direction, insight, understanding, revealed by the Holy Spirit. This is the kind of wisdom that Solomon had in 1 Kings chapter 3. You remember when the two prostitutes each had a baby? Kind of an obscure passage of scripture. One of the moms lays on the baby at night, kills it. The mom wakes up, they switch the babies, they bring it before Solomon, and he says, you know, kill the baby. And the mom, who was really the one, she got the baby. But anyways, it says in that passage here in 1 Corinthians 3, there was no one like Solomon who had wisdom. So prophetic wisdom, when it operates, God is going to give you direction, insight, and understanding into situations, circumstances, and events. I was doing premarital counseling for a couple one time, and they were about 1 week before they were about to get married, and we were doing their last session. And I prayed for them and had an immediate check in my spirit. And the Lord said to me, he's cheating on her. Yeah, that was fun. So obviously you got to think to yourself, what's worse, blowing up a wedding or saving that woman from tears down the road? Cheating now, he's going to cheat later. You never know what God will speak to you. There was a gas station that I drove by years ago that I always just had a burden for. And I didn't know why. I just drove by this gas station and just felt this thing burning inside of me. And so about the fourth time I passed it, I said, Lord, what is it? And the Lord says, this gas station is about to be shut down. I want you to go in and tell the owner that I'm going to open up another gas station for her in this critical season, and she's supposed to let this one go. So I'm like, okay. Now listen, I'm going to tell some crazy stories about my journey. Thank you, man. And you might think that this is like, well, that's him and that can't be me. I don't want you to do that. That's not the Spirit of God. Usually when you hear other people tell testimonies, you're going to be like, wow, that's good for them. I want to tell you this can happen to you. You could be driving by some restaurant in this town and begin to get a burden for this person. So I walk into the gas station, and we can't get into this, but I want to point out to you Romans 12. They that prophesy, prophesy according to their level of faith. Faith is a key ingredient to stepping out and giving prophecy. A lot of people walk around with the word of the Lord. They're just afraid, they're fearful to actually step out. So I go in and give this woman this word of wisdom about this gas station. She looked at me like I was nuts. 6 months later, she finds me in a Walmart and said, hey, I remember you. I said, yeah, I remember you too. She said 3 weeks after you left the gas station, it went into bankruptcy. She said a man came up to me and offered me another gas station, but I didn't take it. Honestly, probably because she didn't know me. But can you see how God is trying to intervene? He's trying to release direction, understanding, and insight. You know, there are things going on in America, honestly, that our government needs prophetic wisdom on. They need wisdom, understanding into the times that we're living in, supernatural wisdom that when you're at a fork and needing to know which way to turn. I remember 6 months ago, there's friends of mine that own hotels all over America. And the Lord had told me they need to sell this hotel and keep this one. I called them on the phone and they said, that's weird. We were about to sell the one you're saying to keep, and we're about to keep the one you're saying to sell. And I'm like, well, fast. You go to the Lord and ask him. They go on a fast. The Lord says, sell that one. They sold this one, and for whatever reason, they made triple the money on that one and ended up making money on the one that they saved. But how many people, you're at a fork in a road. You need a divine word of wisdom. Parents, where do I send my kids to school? I hope we're just not going by it naturally. Well, this school has a better school system, and this school, I mean, that's fine, but I want a word from God. But this has to get wired in us. I want to say this again. When you step into the spirit realm, we're not governed by the flesh any longer. We're governed by the things of the Spirit, and a lot of times the things of the Spirit are going to contradict the things of the flesh. They're going to be at war. They're going to be at odds at one another. I've had the Lord tell me to drain my bank account so many times. Hello, that doesn't seem natural. I don't think that Dave Ramsey would give me the okay on that. But I'm not governed by the flesh. Praise God for God, men like Dave Ramsey that help people get out of debt and blah, blah, blah. But if we're going to step into this realm, we've got to think with the mind of our spirit. So wisdom, words of knowledge. This is, I love this, John 4. You guys remember the woman at the well? He says, you've had five husbands. What did she say? I see that you're a prophet. Just one word of knowledge. This woman goes back to her town. Come and meet the man that told me all that I knew. The whole town gets saved. An event, a date, a time, a detail. Think about this. There could be one influential person in Pagosa Springs. One encounter, one word of knowledge could unlock maybe this whole city to the Lord. But are we asking God for words of knowledge? Are we even giving him room? Are we even making an opportunity for him to move? Several years ago, I was at a Red Lobster. God loves to talk to me in restaurants. There was a guy, long hair, about 6'6". He looked like the Undertaker. I was at a birthday party, and the Lord kept talking to me about his sister, how they'd had a fight and a broken relationship that God was going to heal and restore. You want to talk about trying to figure out how to give this guy the word of the Lord? I'm just thinking, man. So I'm trying to come up with creative ideas. Nothing's working. I'm just like, all right, Lord, I guess I'm just going to have to go up to him right in the restaurant. Walk right up to this guy at the cashier's table. I said, hey, man, I'm Jeremiah. Just want to encourage you that the Lord's going to heal the broken relationship that you have with your sister. He looked at me and said, what did you say? I repeated it again. He immediately broke down and started crying. He said, man, let me get your number, something. I gave this guy my number. He called me at 2 a.m. after he got off work. I woke up to 17 missed phone calls. I meet this guy the next day, casts 6 devils out of him, gives his life to the Lord, and you wouldn't even recognize him to this day. All because God wanted to heal him and his sister's relationship. I was ministering in Peru earlier this year, down at the largest church in Peru, about 60,000 people. They bring me down there to release a prophetic anointing to their group. And there was a particular guy there that just stood out to me in a crowd. And I remember standing this guy up and saying, I really see a Martin Luther anointing upon you. I see you nailing 95 theses at Wittenberg. God's called you to be a reformer, this whole thing. He falls down. Well, 2 days later, we're at another meeting, and the guy comes and walks up to me. He says, do you know who I am? I said, dude, I have no idea who you are. He said, I'm from Spain. He said, did you know that in 2017, this year, this is the 500th anniversary when Martin Luther nailed the 95 theses at Wittenberg and started the Great Reformation? I said, well, I didn't know it was the 500th. He said, dude, I'm the main leader in the Assemblies of God in Spain, and we are filling a stadium in Spain with 40,000 people to commemorate the anniversary of Martin Luther, and I began to doubt whether God had called me to do it or not. A guy from Spain in Peru. The impact of just one word on 40,000 people, you never know what God's going to do. When I was here last time in Colorado, I could tell you tons of stories about words of knowledge, but we were here, I was speaking at a conference in Colorado Springs with, some friends, Dutch Sheets, Lou Engel, some of those guys, Lance Wallnow, and we went out to eat in Colorado Springs after one of the sessions. And again, here's my thing, if you can turn God off or on, you haven't yet tasted him yet. I don't believe we show up here right now and I'll praise the Lord and then shut them off when we go out of here. So I went with a couple of guys out to a restaurant right near Focus on the Family, and we begin to pray for our waitress, order the drinks, bam, we start praying. Lord, give us your heart for her. Give us a word for her. Lord, we want to see her lit up with the Holy Ghost and fire. I mean, I'm talking about getting passionate and zealous about this woman having an encounter with Jesus. God starts speaking words of knowledge. There's 4 of us at the table. We probably gave her 27 words of knowledge. Her jaw was like to the floor. She starts crying. She confesses Christ. She goes and gets the kitchen staff. They come out to the table and they all get saved. I mean, think about it. How many encounters did you and I miss today? I mean, just today. Just didn't even think to ask God what he was doing in their life. We just get caught, I call it navel gazing. We're just, oh. Words of wisdom. Words of knowledge, and I could share so many stories. Flip over, see the gift of prophecy. So the actual gift of prophecy is prediction. Most people, when you say gift of prophecy, they don't have the gift of prophecy. They flow in words of knowledge, words of wisdom, or distinguishing of spirits. Your prediction of prophecy is the minor, it's the smallest part. And you, Acts 11, Agabus, he prophesied a famine. You know, many of you might have read, I've given a lot of predictive prophecies about Trump, the Middle East, Israel, a lot of different things. But I don't want us to focus too much on that element of the prophetic ministry. D, distinguishing of spirits. Acts 16, there's a slave girl following Paul and the boys saying, "These are men of the Most High God." And then they turn around and say, "We rebuke you, Satan." I mean, listen, it's going to take some real discerning people to shout down the Jesus worshiper and say, "You have demons." They have better been right, right? So this is intuition granted by the Holy Spirit to discern good and evil, gifting and calling, supernatural activity. Listen, saints, deliverance is coming back to the church. And I'm not even necessarily talking about taking them to the back room and doing some inner healing. I mean, that's great. But I'm talking about demonic manifestations are coming to a church near you. Listen, youth and young adults, children are being exposed to such a radical realm of darkness. And this is what I see. A lot of times, the church is not even operating in a level of glory that will challenge darkness. I remember being in a meeting one time, and this is one of the hardest rebukes the Lord's ever given me and like messed up my theology. He said, "You don't have enough light in you right now to cast out this darkness." Well, I just thought, well, I got Jesus. He's the light of the world. He said, "I'm the light of the world. I can just cast out whatever." No, the Lord said, "You have not yielded your life in a way that would allow my light to fully penetrate who you are to cast out darkness." What people are into these days, saints, our little church services are not going to do it for them. We've got to raise the level of glory and presence so that when they come into our atmospheres, the demons have to go. I did a youth conference a couple of weeks ago. I don't know why they invite me to youth conferences, probably because I'm young, but I hate them. Like, I don't know. I don't do the David and Goliath stories. I don't know. I'm like, you know, I don't wear V-necks. I don't have tattoos. I'm bald. I mean, these are as tight of jeans as I wear. It's not fitting into the hipster deal. But I go down to this youth conference, 1,500 youth, and I wrestled. I said, "Lord, I don't know." I walk into the meeting. He said, "I want you to preach on deliverance from demons." I said, "Lord, these kids are like 13 to 18. Deliverance from demons?" He said, "Yeah, I want you to get up and preach from Isaiah. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord's upon me. He's anointed me to preach the good news. Freedom, liberty for the captives." We called the youth forward. I've never seen anything like it this much in one service. I remember a sea of youth came forward, and as they hit that altar, bam, 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 we had 16 demonic manifestations at one time, most of them slithering around like snakes. Now again, you're talking like 15-year-old blonde hair miniskirt slithering. I start calling out words of knowledge. There's somebody here with anorexia. Your name is Lauren. God is delivering you right now. And there's demonic manifestations, and I'm looking around, and the youth pastors and the pastors are like, and I'm trying to call an altar team, and there's no one. And the Lord starts speaking to me. The church is so unprepared for the days ahead. We cannot accomplish the Great Commission without the power of God. We've got to have people operating in real discernment. to understand what exactly is someone going through. I remember laying hands on a girl, migraine, headaches. She had been to 58 counselors, done all these different things. I lay hands on her and I said, Holy Spirit, what is it? He said, her boyfriend spoke all this junk over her. I want you to ask her to forgive her boyfriend. The Lord gave me his name. I'm telling you, as soon as she said his name, that demon shrieked. She was set loose and never had a headache again. When we begin to get altar teams trained, when we begin to get people trained in the Holy Ghost, no one's safe that walks in the church. How we doing? And we do this big event on the University of Florida's campus every year, college students. Man, I bring people just to hold these kids' arms behind their back or we cast demons out of them. I mean, when you begin to preach the kingdom of God that comes in power, the demons got to go. The church has to have an answer in this hour. His name is Jesus. But this is all part of the prophetic spirit that can come. All right, Roman numeral 3, the prophetic process. This is the last one, and then we'll pray. Just kind of giving an outline, stirring up hunger and desire. Holy Spirit, help us. The prophetic process. So there's a process in receiving and delivering prophecy. So we ask God to fill our hearts with love, things that are edifying, that are comforting, that bring strength. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits. How does all these things come? How do we practically step into this? A, revelation. In this stage of the prophetic process, we receive the revelation God has given us for what it is. The prophetic can come in many different forms, which we will discuss in the following. So it's like prayer. It starts by receiving. Prophecy starts by receiving. We get into the presence of the Lord and we receive revelation from Him. B, interpretation. In this crucial stage, we begin to engage the Holy Spirit by asking Him specifics of what He has revealed to us. We seek to establish prognosis instead of diagnosis. Prognosis instead of diagnosis. So prognosis is we give people solutions. We don't just expose problems, we give people solutions. Listen, people already know they're messed up. Like all these people, all they want to do is rail on the American church. You don't have to be prophetic to do that. What's God saying, though? What's the answer? What's the solution? What's the hope? Walking up to a girl in a miniskirt and saying, yeah, you got dad issues and you're sexually immoral. I'm like, yeah, she knows that. What's the word and heart of God for this young lady that could transform her into a new woman overnight? Prognosis, solutions, prophetic people, they bring solutions. Prophetic people bring solutions. One more time, prophetic people, a lot of people know prophetic people as they just tell you what the problem is. They just go to pastor and say, this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong, and okay, how do we fix it? C, application. This stage provides a very practical approach to the prophetic words that's been received. So, revelation, interpretation, we interpret what we're seeing, what we're hearing, what we're sensing, and then we apply it. Where does it fit? Remember, true prophecy always gives us a prayer agenda. Somebody gives me a prophetic word, I'm going to take it to the place of prayer. Say, Holy Spirit, how do I apply what I've received in the place of prayer? And then 4, receiving prophetic words. I got ahead of myself. How do we receive them? Intimacy. How do we step into the prophetic spirit tonight? A, intimacy. Don't forget to pursue love, guidance, and insight into our lives and the lives of others is a byproduct of relationship with Jesus. One significant key to prophesying is loving people enough to ask God questions. B, prayer. If we can pray, we can prophesy. I have a prayer list that I cover every day. When I start praying for people, God starts talking to me about them. Many of the public prophetic words God wants to release over his people come through private intercession and prayer. See, the Word of God. The Bible's foundational. As we search and study the Scriptures, we can always be asking the Holy Spirit which passages he might want to highlight. I used to travel with this old prophet guy. I'm serious. All he did was give people scriptures. He would stand somebody up out of a crowd and quote to them chapter and verse the exact passage of scripture that they were going through. It was amazing. You know why that's amazing? Because the Word of God is eternal. I'd honestly rather have a word from, like, the word from the Bible than some prophetic word. I read the Bible every day. I do. I would encourage you, if you have a Bible reading plan, you have a scripture, you have something, do your Bible reading plan, and then to end it, say, Lord, is this for anyone else? I can't tell you how many times I text people, hey, this passage of scripture came to mind, and they're like, whoa, how'd you know that? Because the Lord wrote the scriptures through the prophets. Every word in scripture is anointed. So we can prophesy through the word. D, impressions and burdens. Many times God will allow us to feel, sense, and experience the pains and burdens of others. So I'm like at the grocery store and my knee starts hurting. I'm perfectly healthy. Why is my knee hurting? All right, are you ready? Because somebody in line, their knee hurts. And God is allowing me to feel their pain to give me faith to step out and say, is there someone here with a hurt knee? See, people are so oblivious to this stuff. You're not depressed. You walk into an atmosphere, you get depressed. God is giving you prophetic intelligence into what's going on there. See, like me, I've never walked into someone's house, ever. And not the first thing I pick up is the spiritual climate. We feel, we sense, we experience. When's the last time you asked the Lord, help me to feel what other people are feeling around me? Help me to share their burden. E, physical pain. We're just talking about this. Words of knowledge leading to prayers of faith. We have to get beyond the coincidence mindset. F, you see, you have God thoughts. Some prophetic people see phrases, words, or things in the spirit that they can't explain. Others have words just drop in their spirit. Like this couple back here, you're wearing the shorts. Like, you don't have to get up, but the Lord's been just highlighting you guys to me, and like, I see in the spirit, spiritual hunger. Like, you guys are about to step into a new dimension of the spirit, like a fresh waterfall. There's such a hunger in you, sir, for evangelism, for souls, for discipleship. You're like me, a square peg in a round hole. You just don't fit in. You're more comfortable with unsaved people than you are saved people. And it's because it's an anointing that God has given you, but the Lord is going to stir up the gifts of the Holy Spirit inside of you so that you can minister out of passion and fire, just not gifting. So I want to pray for you guys, but like I've just been seeing things in the spirit over you guys just the whole time. G, visions. This is seeing in the spirit realm. It could come through pictures, oftentimes accompanied by various descriptions. Sir, right here in the cowboy boots, which I guess a lot of y'all wear cowboy boots. I don't own a pair. I've never worn any. I've also never shot a gun. I know. I just lost some points around here. Tell me your name. Tell me your name. Lyndon, man, I get like a huge vision of wisdom upon you. I just really think God has anointed you with wisdom. He's going to bring other, especially young men around you that are at a hard time in life. I just see a lot of acceleration over your life. And I just want to break off, even right now, any handicaps that's been placed on you. So, Lord, I just command right now every restraint and every hindrance that's been placed upon this brother. And we just say, we welcome you right now in the name of Jesus. We welcome the Father's heart that God has given you, the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding how to last the test of time. Thank you for this legacy. I just see like a lot of young men, they're running so fast they'll never make it. But you're going to teach them how to flourish through the good and the bad. We got to have room for everybody. I sense that in this fellowship, in this room, there's got to be room for everybody. There's got to be room for all the calls, all the gifting, all the grace as one family. Visions says young men are going to see visions, H, dreams. God will speak to many individuals as they sleep. Is anybody a prophetic dreamer in here? Come on. Raise your hands. Come on, praise God. What are you guys doing with these dreams? You guys need to get together. You need to start a group. Start submitting your dreams. Finding out what the Lord is saying. What's he saying over this church? What he's saying over this region? Start giving account for prophetic intelligence. This other realm that the Lord has opened up to. I mean, I got to tell you, I minister in place all the time. I'll minister at mega churches and 10,000 people. I'll ask people who's dreaming, and like 5 people will raise their hand. I mean, it's so rare just to be in a smaller group of people with this many people prophetically dreaming. When we drove into this area, this region, I believe there's a massive prophetic well in Pagosa Springs. What I was feeling in my spirit, I mean, man, there's such a purity that God is after, a really powerful, pure, prophetic well that I believe you guys are going to contend for. But I really believe you guys are going to host some major prophetic stuff going on in the years ahead. But the dreaming, the visions, you can even step into another realm. I'd even encourage you just to pray for dream impartation. Pray that the Lord would give you an anointing to break nightmares off of people. You know, a lot of people are caught in a spirit of witchcraft and manipulation, a spirit of restlessness over their mind. And if you're dreaming with the Lord, I just encourage you to step into another realm. I know my wife and I, we have people stay with us that have never dreamed before in dreams. It's just an anointing that the Lord has given me just to release an increased realm of dreams and visions. It's all part of our inheritance. So so what do you want to do? He wants to take up an offering, but I want to minister to you guys. So I'm not really here for the money. I mean, it's nice, but I just want to be a blessing to you guys, and just as the Holy Spirit leads. Was that teaching helpful at all? Maybe just kind of making sense. But I think he's just going to come, and then I'm just going to minister over. I don't prophesy for money, okay? I can't, like, promise you. You know, people track me down and say, hey, I gave $500 in the offering, and you didn't give me my prophetic word, okay? I don't know. You know, I'm just going to, minister as God leads. And, just come back. You know, maybe, you know, the Lord has something for someone tonight. I'll have something for you tomorrow night. But I'm going to be praying and seeking the Lord. I also, like, I'm not into the God told you that I was going to give you a word. That just kind of seems manipulating to me. I have people do that all the time. God told me that he gave you a dream for me, and I'm like, I've never seen you before. But just give freely, and I'll just come up, and we'll have a good time in
God. How many of you guys think we can?